Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Well, hello and good morning, faithful listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Bible Explained on this lovely Monday morning. I hope you all had a really great weekend, as I did. I'm finally feeling better. So fun fact, I got sick again last week. I was sick, as you know, at the beginning of last week. And then on Wednesday, I got sick again with like an entirely different cold. I had like two different colds in a row. And I'm not even joking. That actually happened to me. And thankfully, I had Thursday's and Friday's episodes pre-recorded for you guys. So I didn't actually miss any episodes again. But yeah, that was weird. That was very, very strange. But now I'm feeling so much better. And hopefully it stays that way now for at least a few months. That would be great. You know, if I just could stay healthy for a few months, that would be fantastic. Anyway, I hope that you guys have your cup of coffee ready, because we are going to be talking about 1 Samuel 18. And yes, I am back to drinking coffee. I've got my coffee back with me. And it is just wonderful. It is so nice to have a steaming hot cup of coffee with me again instead of tea. Though I did realize I do enjoy black tea. I have come to discover I do like a good cup of black tea, but it does have to be sweetened with some kind of flavor. So maybe someday I'll become a crazy tea drinker. Who knows? But for now, I'm still going to stick with coffee. All right, let's read 1 Samuel 18 verses 10 through 19. And as usual, I'll be reading this out of the WEB. Make sure to grab your Bible in the version that you prefer, and also your cup of coffee or your cup of tea, to enjoy some scripture reading together. On the next day, an evil spirit from God came mightily on Saul, and he prophesied in the middle of the house. David played with his hand, and as he did day by day, Saul had a spear in his hand. And Saul threw the spear, for he said, "I will pin David to the wall." David escaped from his presence twice. Saul was afraid of David, because Yahweh was with him and had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. David behaved himself wisely in all of his ways, and Yahweh was with him. When Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he stood in awe of him. But all of Israel and Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before them. Saul said to David, "Behold, my elder daughter Merib, I will give her to you as a wife. Only be valiant for me and fight Yahweh's battles." For Saul said, "Don't let my hand be on him, but let the hand of the Philistines be on him." David said to Saul, "Who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?" But at the time when Merib, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, she was given to Adriel the Maholathite as wife. So I was actually very tempted to read this portion of scripture out of the NLT version today, specifically because of verse 10, but I ended up not reading it out of the NLT because I actually wanted to talk about the word prophesy that is mentioned in the WEB version. So here's what it says in verse 10. On the next day, an evil spirit from God came mightily on Saul, and he prophesied in the middle of the house. Now, I'll be honest, this was very confusing for me, because I was like, how can an evil spirit make Saul prophesy? So I looked this up in a bunch of different commentaries, and pretty much all of them agree that Saul was not prophesying in the spirit the way that we think of prophecy. You know, usually we think of prophecy as a word from God. But in this case, Saul didn't have a word from God, and yet he was prophesying. The Hebrew word for prophesy can be translated either as to prophesy, like to have a word from God, or it could mean to babble. And that's actually why I was tempted to read this out of the NLT initially, is because the NLT translates it that way. It says in verse 10 out of the NLT, "The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman." That is how the NLT translates it. However, I was able to find a few other viewpoints that talk about Saul prophesying with this evil spirit. One particular commentary said that Saul could have been muttering false prophecies so that David wouldn't be afraid of Saul in that moment, because Saul was secretly in his heart trying to kill David during all of this. Because here's what it says. Saul had the spear in his hand in verse 10, and then Saul threw the spear intending to pin David to the wall. So Saul was intentionally trying to kill David. So the thought was, perhaps Paul was muttering things that sounded like prophecies to make David unafraid of Saul, so that David would come and play for Saul so that Saul could, you know, throw the spear at David. Now, if that is the case, though, Saul, according to the Old Testament, would have had to be put to death for this, because false prophecy, according to God, was a huge no-no. Like, you don't prophesy falsely in God's name. You do not do that. So I don't know if Saul was prophesying falsely specifically to make David unafraid of him. But personally, that explanation does not make the most sense to me. Another explanation I found for this is that Saul was muttering prophecy-like things specifically to God, almost in agony of what was happening to him. Like, God, please remove this thing. God, please remove this thing from me. God, help me, help me, help me. And then the people listening to Saul thought it sounded like prophecy. You know, if Saul was in complete agony, he could have been muttering things that sounded prophecy-like, right? But personally, I do think that logically, because the Hebrew word can either mean babbling or it can mean prophecies from God, it makes the most sense that Saul here was just babbling incoherently and was just being in torment from this evil spirit that was harassing him. So that's what I think anyway, but I wanted to talk a little bit about that word prophesy here. So that's why I specifically read out of the WEB today. But anyway, it says that David played with his hand, because as we know, David was Saul's hymnist. You know, David would come and he'd play his harp and he would sing maybe some hymns to Saul. And initially that was working. When Saul heard the music and the hymns that David would play, the evil spirit would leave Saul alone. And Saul would be in his right mind again. He wouldn't be overcome with anger and rage or anything like that. And everything would be hunky-dory again. But now it's no longer working, because David's presence is making Saul absolutely insane, because he hates David so much at this point. Because what happened is David was starting to get so much praise from the people. David was loved by everybody. He was loved by Saul's servants. He was loved by all the women in Israel. He was loved by Jonathan, Saul's son. And even we find out that his daughters loved David also. So everybody's beginning to love David. David is getting to become super popular. And so Saul feels extremely threatened. So he hates David because he's jealous of David and he is threatened by David. So David, when he was a nobody playing the harp for Saul, Saul loved it. Saul was fine with it. He could enjoy the music and enjoy the hymns and, you know, be calmed through David's playing. But now, because it's David playing the hymns for Saul, Saul's just getting even more agitated, because he's allowing that sin and that anger and the influence of this evil spirit to overcome him. David's presence is so irritating to him. Saul specifically decides to try to target David and kill him right then and there. And I don't know if it was predetermined, like Saul had this plan predetermined in his heart, or if him seeing and hearing David right then and there made him just rageful and he decided right then with spear in hand to try to kill David. It doesn't actually say if it was predetermined or not, but to me, it kind of sounds like this was a spur of a moment decision for Saul, because he's holding his spear. He's raging in his house. Maybe it sounded like prophecy. Maybe it didn't. He's just raging. And he decides right then and there, I will pin David to the wall, is what it says. And so David escaped from Saul's presence. And here's the key word, twice. And later on, we find out how moral David was when it came to Saul, because David did not want to kill Saul, like under any circumstance whatsoever, even though Saul got increasingly more aggressive towards David as the chapters go on. David refused to kill Saul on multiple occasions because he said it was not his place to kill Saul. It was God's place to give him vengeance. David was in no way about to kill Saul. So even though Saul was attempting David's life on two separate occasions where David is playing the harp for him and trying to, you know, calm Saul down, David was not going to retaliate. It says he escaped from Saul's presence twice. And what's really funny after this is verse 12. It says, after David escaped from his presence twice, it says, Saul was afraid of David. It doesn't say that David was afraid of Saul. I find that very funny. It was Saul who was afraid of David, even though Saul is the one that was trying to kill David and David's life was being threatened. David was not afraid of Saul. Saul was afraid of David because Yahweh was with him and had departed from Saul. That was why Saul was afraid of David, was because he knew God was with David, and Saul also knew at this point in time that God was no longer with Saul. God had once been with Saul years before this, but now he was no longer with Saul, and he's starting to realize that David is the anointed. Even though he had no clue beforehand, he had no clue that Samuel had gone to David's house and actually anointed David years before this. Saul didn't know that. Saul is now figuring it out, that David is the next chosen king. Saul doesn't pray to God or ask God to come back to him or ask God to help him. He doesn't do any of that. Instead, here's what Saul does. Saul makes David a captain over thousands to get rid of David, both in the fact that he doesn't have to see or hear David anymore playing the harp for him, and also because it was a dangerous position. And so maybe the Philistines would get rid of David for Saul and Saul wouldn't have to worry about him anymore. That's probably what Saul is thinking by making David a captain over thousands of people. But that's not what happened. Here's what happened. David went out and came in before the people. That's old-fashioned language to say David went to battle and he finished the battles and he came back to Israel time and time again, meaning he won a lot of battles. So none of it was working. It says in verse 14, David behaved himself wisely in all of his ways, and Yahweh was with him. When Saul saw that he behaved himself wisely, he stood in awe of him. So not only was Saul jealous of David and threatened by David, but he was also admiring David a little bit in his own weird way. So Saul was a very complicated person, and we know that all of this, you know, looking at Saul's backstory with how insecure Saul was as a person, this must have been eating away at him. You know, like Saul was not the type of person to just back out and let someone else take over his throne, even though that's what he should have done, because God said that's what was going to happen to Saul. Like God had told Saul, I'm going to reject you and give your kingdom to someone else. But I think Saul was in denial over all of that. And that's pretty clear. We're going to see how Saul was in denial in the next couple chapters. But because of Saul's personality, he was not about to let David take over the throne. So Saul now begins scheming. So here's what happens. It says that all of Israel and Judah loved David. He went out and came in before them, meaning he won a lot of battles. So here's what Saul does. Saul says to David, behold, here's my eldest daughter, Merab. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be valiant for me and fight Yahweh's battles. So he's pretending to care about David, pretending to want David as a son-in-law, and finally fulfilling the promise that he made to David, because he had told David beforehand that if David went out and killed Goliath, that he would give his daughter as a wife to David. But what's interesting, David didn't even ask for that or expect any kind of payment for killing Goliath, actually, because David never told Saul, hey, give me my reward now. He never did that. And so David instead says to Saul, Who am I that I should be the son-in-law to the king? So he responds with this very humble response. He's like, thank you so much, King Saul. That is an honor above all honors to be the son-in-law to the king. But all of this on Saul's part was a huge scheme, okay? It was scheming because first and foremost, a dowry had to be paid back in these days to marry somebody. And marrying the daughter of a king would not have been easy, even though technically David was owed the right and had already paid the dowry by going and killing Goliath. Saul wasn't fulfilling that promise to David, and so he's expecting a second dowry from David. And David was like, yes, you know, I'll do it. That's fine by me. I'll go out and kill these Philistines. But meanwhile, Saul's thinking, if I go and send David to kill these Philistines, then he might die in a battle with the Philistines and I'll be rid of him completely. So he'll, you know, have paid this dowry for my daughter to marry her and he'll be dead. It'll be perfect. But of course, that isn't what happened. David was valiant and courageous and he went out and fought these battles. And so the time came for him to marry Merab, Saul's daughter. But Saul was like, you know what? I'm going to give Merab, my daughter, to another man. So Saul once again lies to David and he doesn't give his daughter in marriage to David and gives her to a totally different man. Apparently, she was given to Adriel the Maholathite as wife. And this entire scheme in Saul's mind was that maybe David would retaliate against Saul, you know, and David would be like, hey, you know, you promised your daughter to me. I wanted to be the son-in-law to the king. So now let's fight. And then that would give Saul an excuse to kill David also. So all of this was a predetermined plan in Saul's mind to try to kill David. He was taking active steps to try to kill David. That was Saul's plan all along with everything that he did. And it's only going to get worse from here. So far in this small little portion we read today, Saul has tried to kill David twice with his own hand. He's tried to kill David twice by the Philistine's hand, first by making him the captain, and second by promising his daughter to David so that David goes out and fights even more battles. So he's tried to kill David four times in this short little portion, and he's cheated David twice in this short little portion by not giving David Merab from the beginning and then giving Merab as a wife to a totally different man. So he's cheated David twice and he's tried to kill him four times just in these 10 little verses. So that is how much Saul absolutely hates David. It's about to get worse. It's about to get a lot worse for David. And Saul is about to go off the deep end if he hasn't yet. He's basically already in the deep end, but somehow he's about to get a lot worse. He is about to become a very rageful and crazy individual. But as always, I like to bring it back to home. What can we learn from this portion of scripture? And there is something we can learn by reading through this. We can learn to be more like David. When someone cheats us, when someone hurts us, we need to give it to God the same way that David did. I'm sure that David had his feelings. He certainly wasn't perfect. We know David was a normal human being like the rest of us. He was certainly not perfect in any capacity. He had feelings about all of this that was happening to him, but he gave those feelings to God. And David was the one who famously said, God is the one who takes vengeance for me. So even though it is very hard to be mistreated by somebody, it is so important for us to allow God to handle it for us. Because if we go out and handle it ourselves, either we're going to get ourselves into a whole lot of trouble or we're going to look terrible to other people. It is so much better to just remain quiet and wait for God to handle those things that hurt us so deeply that other people do to us. I encourage you, wait for God to handle those problems for you because he's going to handle them so much better than you could ever possibly handle them. Just as we're about to see God handle David's problems with Saul for David. Faithful listeners, thank you so much for joining me on this Monday to read some scripture with me. I've really been enjoying the book of 1 Samuel more than I thought I would, which is really funny because I say that with every book, you know? Every single new book I'm about to go into, halfway through it, I'm just like, this is a great book. I'm really enjoying this book. But I really am enjoying the book of 1 Samuel more than I thought I would. It's a really, really interesting book to me. All right, guys, I will see you all tomorrow for an episode out of Acts. We're going to be out of Acts very soon and moving into the book of Romans, which will be exciting because the book of Romans is no longer going to be story-based. A lot of what we've been reading so far have all been story-driven, but now we're going to be talking more about like the letters and the rules and everything that Paul talks about in the book of Romans. So that'll be great. Faithful listeners, I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. And as always, happy listening and God bless.